Hey everyone, this is Coach Bills, joined by Coach Future Star for the third and final group that we're going to preview here for the PNTT. Coach, how are you?
Great, ready to go.
Excellent. This one is the Hernandez group, named after departing senior Tahir Hernandez of the Huntington Beach Oxen. And we were talking offline, Huntington Beach, very strong team last year, 5 seed in the NTT, made it to the Elite Eight and then didn't lose after their loss, if you will, right? So they were 5-1 in the NTT, finished 5th. Number 7 in the power rankings, 21-3 record. And Hernandez, you know, senior starter, pretty good player. Also looks like their weakest starter, right? So, I mean, he's the one guy they graduated. And they bring in an excellent freshman class, at least based on the recruiting rankings. 7 hardwood, number 1 Sim Hoops, led by Jorge Baldridge and Dylan Juergens. Some really nice talent on this team. And as we also were saying before we started recording, some real good defense on the team last year, which, you know, the three guys who come in aren't necessarily excelling in that area. Who knows? But they it looks like this is going to be one of the best teams in the whole country, let alone this tournament.
Right. I mean, you're talking about a team that if you look at their, was specifically their defensive numbers last year. I mean, that's just ridiculous. I mean, playing a decent strength of schedule and certainly some good teams in the NTT, holding teams overall to 38% from the field, 44% true shooting. On a personal note, you know, we did play them in a consolation game in the NTT, and we were a team that was probably one of the top 3 or 4 teams in the league offensively, and I think we scored 60 points against them. So that pretty much tells you all you need to know. I mean, they can just shut down anyone. And while Tahir Hernandez was probably a decent part of that, it looks just like a team concept, and that looks like it's going to continue this season.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, they had Morris in the post with 3 blocks per 30 minutes at center. As you said, Hernandez was very good defensively, so that's a loss certainly in that regard. But, you know, Seth Johnson, their best player overall, was good on defense as well as offense. And then Lee and Miles in the backcourt, both with some nice steal numbers. So I guess the question to me is how all this talent shakes out, right? I mean, these guys, 4 out of 5 starters come back. Johnson clearly is still going to be starting. I think Morris should have his spot at center locked in. You know, some good freshmen, where do they fit in? I mean, do you see 2 of those guys starting, you know, knocking somebody out, or is it just 1? And, you know, where does everybody go in the starting lineup?
Right. Yeah. Well, with as successful as this team was last year, I think the 4 guys that come back from the starting lineup, I think they deserve every right to start again. The only question I would have is the 3 freshmen that they bring in, while they are very talented, all of them 6'6". So not an obvious power forward in that spot, although 2 of them did play power forward in high school. So I don't know if Seth Johnson is a guy you can move to power forward and just maybe be slightly undersized there. He's such a good player, it may not make a difference, but I don't know if you want to neuter his abilities by moving him, or if somebody from the bench comes in there and all these freshmen just go and give you good depth. Looking at their scouting reports from the recruiting trail last year, all 3 of them look like they're pretty good defenders. Hard to tell. The numbers don't necessarily look that great on Juergens and Cutler defensively, but they were also 6'6 guys playing power forward. So it's hard to tell what those numbers really mean. But based on the scouting reports, they both look like, you know, at least above average defenders. So that's just going to add to the team's thinking in terms of defense first. So yeah, like I said, I just wonder what's going to happen as far as replacing Hernandez, because there's not an obvious power forward replacement. So I'm thinking maybe somebody off the bench is going to go in, but I don't know that for sure.
Yeah, that's the only question really, is they just didn't quite make a 1-for-1 replacement with the one guy they lost. They probably have more overall talent now than they did last year, but you know, I'm sure you and I both know, and coaches listening know, you know, sometimes it can be about how everything fits together as much as overall talent. So question there, but certainly a really strong number 1 seed to start out this group.
Right.
Moving down to the number 2 seed, we're getting another good team, the Indianapolis Sizzling Bacon. Now, this is a team that lost a lot and also brought in a good class. So we'll see how that shakes out. They were 16-8 last year, 13 seed in the NTT, finished number 35 in the power rankings. But they actually made it all the way to the Elite Eight as a 13 seed. So made a really nice run before falling in the Elite Eight. They lost Jason Brown, who was the point guard for them last year, and Mitchell Wall, who played center. And they brought in some guys who height-wise match up with those losses. I mean, Aiden Cannon looks like he should be able to play center right away. He's a good player. And then a couple guards in Tardif and Schaefer. Don't know if either of those guys can really replace what Brown did in his 7.3 assists per 30 along with 17 points per game. So I don't know if this team can run on the treadmill and be exactly what it was. Some good players coming back along with the ones who've come in. But it's always tough to replace guys like Brown and Wall, even if you do bring in good freshmen.
Right. Yeah. The slight difference between them and Huntington Beach that, we talked about in no obvious replacement for Hernandez for Huntington Beach. Here it does look like there's a one-for-one replacement in terms of replacing Mitchell Wall. Maybe not quite the size that Wall had with him being 7'1", but even though he was 7'1", probably not the most athletic guy, only 1.6 blocks per game. Cannon, maybe even though he's a couple inches shorter, maybe we'll play like a 7'1 guy just based on, his rebounding numbers, good steal numbers, over three blocks a game. Definitely a guy who's going to come in and I would say maybe even be a slight improvement on Wall overall. The main question here with this team is the point guard spot. Jason Brown took care of the ball, did not turn it over very much, great assist numbers, could score. There's nothing really obvious on the bench. Their backup point guard last year was Victor Wilson, who I would say, and no slight to him, probably the worst player of the 12 guys that played, or of the 10 guys, I guess the 11 guys that played last year.
I think that's a slight to him. How is that not a slight to him? He's the worst player on the team.
I guess it is a slight. So I guess, well,
he's probably not listening to the podcast either. So I think it's all right.
I guess an honest take on him. Well, let's call it that. But there's no obvious point guards. I wonder, where they're going to go there. I don't know if Joseph McKnight can maybe shift down to point guard, which would allow somebody else like a Joshua Schaefer to start as a freshman. Or if, maybe Schaefer himself could be a point guard. That's the one thing that Coach SVC, who I know very well from a different league in DTL, a very good coach. He's going to have to figure that out. But that's the main thing. But like I said, very successful season last year, losing Wall and replacing with Cannon. I don't think that's going to hurt them at all. In fact, I think it might help them. But just the point guard is what they have to figure out in these first few games.
Yeah, that sounds totally right to me. Cannon looks great. I mean, Wall was good. Thanks for the memories, but maybe an even better replacement. But yeah, it's not so much like you have to have somebody who can play point guard and pass or whatever, but the way this team was built last season specifically, Brown probably helped the whole offense, 7.3 assists. So that all goes out the window and there's not an obvious distributor elsewhere in the lineup who's going to, make up for those assists. Cody Kithcart seems to have good hands, but that's about it. I do think that'll be an issue for them and could potentially limit their ceiling. In a different group, maybe I'd say they could still be the top dog, but given what Huntington Beach has, could be tough for them. But let's go through the rest of the group here. Next up, we've got the Charlotte Sand Sharks, the number 3 seed in this group. They were in the PTT last year as a number 2 seed, won a game and lost in the second round. They finished number 60 in the power rankings. They lost a couple starters, guys who were part-time starters, though. Logan Shavers and Christian Corcoran. They both played about 22 minutes a game. I haven't looked at their game logs. Do you know, Coach, whether they were starting by the end of the year?
Logan Shavers, he looked like he was going back and forth, but by the end of the season, he was a backup, so he had lost his spot. And then the other guy you were looking at is who?
Yeah, Corcoran. I see it here, Corcoran. He was Corcoran. Split. Okay. 50-50, really.
Yeah, he's shifting around. Yeah, so definitely a coach. Yeah, I guess this is a coach that has no problems changing lineups to suit the opponent or just based on hot streaks and cold streaks. Yeah, so it's just a lot of moving around.
Yeah, so, a couple part-time starters who are gone. But it's not as if there were obvious guys who took their place who, you know, are really the starters going forward. I mean, Thomas Firestone was on the bench during most of last year. Well, I'm trying to check now to see whether he actually got into the starting lineup ever. He didn't, it looks like. But he had some good numbers. So, you know, defensively was a bit of an issue, but he could at least score. So there's that. The freshmen who come in are okay. 122 Hardwood, 115 Sim Hoops. Some size, you know, Timothy Dunbar at 6'10", Kaysen Higgins, 6'9", along with 6'7", Kobe Mickley. So all three of those guys can score some, or at least are efficient in shooting. So who knows how all of this will shake out with a team that, like you said, had a lot of moving pieces last year.
Right. Yeah. And it looks like his team that they do have, I mean, they have their now senior classes, fairly highly ranked at 417. So there's some talent there, you know, but looking at the numbers, I don't see any real standout players. Looks like just kind of a collection of average to above average players that kind of work together as a whole. I mean, they were a PTT team last year. They were a 2 seed. So, you know, I finished ranked 60th overall. So kind of on the cusp of being an NTT team. But yeah, among the freshmen, like I said, kind of fits in the mold with everybody else. Kind of maybe a couple good players, but nothing, you know, nothing that's going to really stand out over anyone else. So we'll just have to see. And like we said, the coach is not afraid to try things out and move guys around. So yeah, he'll probably, you know, give everybody a shot here and there and see what works.
Yeah. I mean, they managed a relatively efficient offense last year. Bunch of guys with some pretty good numbers, at least in terms of percentages. Defense was more of a challenge for them. You know, gave up a pretty good true shooting percentage too. I don't know how much they're going to improve in that area with the freshmen they brought in. So that could consistently be a problem.
Yeah, only 6 blocks a game last year, so not too much interior defense. Even though they do bring in some size in Dunbar and Higgins, I don't know exactly. Higgins maybe looks like not a bad defender, but maybe not all that athletic. Only 1 block a game as a center. Dunbar maybe a little more so. You know, 1.4 blocks a game as a power forward, but nothing that's going to dramatically improve their shot blocking.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, when Charlotte was at its best, you know, seasons ago, they had awesome, efficient offenses. So, you know, this is in that mold, but it's not at the same level that they have been at times. So might be tough for them to keep up with the first two teams that we went through. Let's take a look at the fourth team in the group. That's the Charleston 49 Niners, 49 Niners, coached by Too Slick 234. They were in the NTT last year as a 14 seed, finished 46th and were number 88 in the final power rankings. They graduated, just moving ahead here, no senior starters, it looks like. In fact, two of their seniors were on NA, and the third was the backup power forward, and it was a 200-200 class. So I'm guessing Coach Too Slick 234 is not too devastated to see them leave. And the freshmen who come in are looking pretty good. 28 Hardwood, 58 Sim Hoops. Shorter guy in Nathan Hawkins, who's, you know, scored 20 points a game. And then Max Winder and Daniel McDaniel, the creatively named, both 6'6". And, you know, some decent overall talent there. Not obvious to me who the hardwood player, if you will, in that group is. And it looked like you had the spreadsheet open before, Coach. I mean, I can take a look too. You can tell who it is.
Just based on what it looks like, I think Winder and McDaniel, not so much in terms of like their offense or anything, but I think they're both pretty well-rounded players, so look like two really solid glue guys. Hawkins just kind of looks like an offense only short point guard, so I wouldn't think a player like that would be highly ranked by the computer. So I would think Winder and McDaniel, and those players, I don't know exactly if it's exactly what they needed, but they were replacing, you know, they lost two NAs, so all they needed to replace was a backup power forward. I don't know if either of these guys is an exact fit for that, but both guys that are going to, you know, give you some value as defensive playmakers, whether it's starting or off the bench.
I mean the best class on the roster is now seniors, right? I mean, 13 Hardwood, 16 Sim Hoops, led by Brent Smith, who was the 6'8 center last year, had some solid overall numbers. Damian Gore also started last year from that class. Doesn't look like a real star there. So, you know, a balanced group, good for them for making the NTT last year. Doesn't necessarily look like an NTT level team. Didn't necessarily play like it in the NTT, although it's not like they went 0-6 either. And some solid freshmen are coming in too. So, you know, a little bit like Charlotte in that we'll have to kind of wait and see how things shake out for this team. There's some talent here. I don't see them challenging the top teams in the group, but it's certainly not a bottom feeding type team either.
No, yeah, it's very similar to the team that we just looked at, Charlotte, you know, and kind of no real obvious star players, but just a collection of decent players. The pretty good offense, defense just kind of average, and similar to Charlotte, you know, lacking a little bit in the interior defense. And I guess not real strong defenders or athletic guys in the post, but guys that provide value elsewhere with the, you know, rebounding, playmaking. Can be a little short on the bench, which they were last year. So that's going to be an issue perhaps, but you know, like I said, in this league, it's tough to recruit size. So a lot of teams have short benches, so that may not hurt them too much. So they made the NTT last year and like I said, didn't really lose a whole lot. So I think they should maybe in terms of their overall record, maybe be slightly improved.
Yeah. That all sounds right to me. So taking a look at the group as a whole, I guess my question to you is, does Huntington Beach have anything to worry about? Are they a prohibitive favorite here? Do you think Indianapolis is closer than I'm giving it credit for with that question? Or how do you see it shaking out?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the schedules, I mean, they both have similar schedules. They both face one highly ranked team out of group in terms of Huntington Beach facing Plainview and Indianapolis facing New York City. So no real obvious advantage there. And I just, you know, Huntington Beach, I just can't get past the fact that their defense is just so suffocating, you know, and I don't think there's anything in this group that's going to be able to beat them head to head. So I think it'll be the out of group games where they'll have to make it up. And I don't know if anybody's going to, you know, going to be able to do that. Huntington Beach, I think is just might be too talented. And I would have to say that they're probably a pretty strong favorite here, especially with the point guard issues that Indianapolis might have to deal with, you know, with no obvious replacement for Jason Brown.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think if Brown were back or if there were someone who looked like a reasonable facsimile of him, it would be a two-team group for sure. Because Indianapolis has a lot of talent. As we said, Cannon looks like a great freshman to come in and play center. Cathcart is back. They were in the Elite Eight last year. They're a very talented team, but that's just a big hole. And, you know, it's an early season tournament, right? Even if someone emerges and the coach is able to figure out a lineup that works, it might be tough to do that right from the beginning. Whereas Huntington Beach, I think, is more of a finished product, even though they have their own hole. Like, we don't know who's going to replace Hernandez. It just doesn't seem like quite as big of a problem for them. So, yeah, I'm with you. I see them as the favorite in this group for sure.
Yep.
Any closing thoughts here? This is the third and final group that we're covering. So before we sign off, anything else you want to say about the tournament as a whole or the season?
No. I'm just saying that, thanks to everybody else who's participating and doing these podcasts. I haven't listened to any of the others yet, but I'm going to do that as soon as we wrap this up. And, you know, I'll be interested to hear what everyone else has to say. You know, and good luck to you as well, Coach. It looks like you brought in a pretty nice recruiting class. And hopefully, you know, maybe we'll be able to face each other down the road somewhere.
Yeah, if only New York City doesn't.
I know. Somebody's going to have to beat New York City first. Yeah, so.
That's and not to mention Cambridge, the actual champ, right? So,
right.
A lot of good teams out there. But, yeah, there's some optimism in Salt Lake City. I'll admit that. And I'm sure there's quite a bit in Rockford, too. So it'll be a fun season for everybody.
Yep.
All right. That'll do it for us. Thanks a lot, everybody. Good luck.